The This Week in Music History podcast with Marty Miller from Nova.ie and Radio Nova.
Hello there. If you regularly download podcasts, you'll know that some of them can bang on for quite some time. I think this is officially the shortest podcast you will ever listen to. Every single week, we take a look back at the week that was in music history. So stuff that's gone on, years gone by, in this particular week, and this being the week of October 14th to 18th. And we'll start with David Bowie, when in 1977, he gave us his 12th studio album, Heroes, which was the second installment of his Berlin trilogy with Brian Eno. The others, of course, being Low and Lodger. David loved being in Berlin.
I had an apartment there above an auto shop on the Hauptstrasse. I went back to see it on the last tour. And I really got pangs of... It really became a home for me, Berlin, at that time. It was a good place to be. I enjoyed it because there seemed to be such a lot happening in Berlin at the time.
It was this week in 1988 that Def Leppard became the first act in chart history to sell 7 million copies of two consecutive LPs, Pyromania and, of course, Hysteria, the biggest selling album to date for Def Leppard.
Hysteria took 3 years to make. Well, did it really? We started writing the album in February of 1984 and it was released in August of 1987. So you could say it was actually even longer. But the fact is that we didn't start recording until August of 84. That was with a guy called Jim Steinman and all those sessions were scrapped. So the actual record that you hear didn't really get recorded until mid 85. So, truth is, the album actually that you listen to when you hear the album Hysteria took about 18 months to record.
Thank you, Joe Elliott, for that history lesson. In 1995, this week, Paul and Linda McCartney were guest voices on The Simpsons. You know, Paul said, yeah, I'll do it, but Lisa's decision to become a vegetarian has to be a permanent character change, and that was the way it stayed. The power of the McCartneys.
Wow, Paul McCartney! I read about you in history class. But where's your wife, Linda?
Right here, Lisa. Whenever we're in Springfield, we like to hang out in Apu's garden in the shade.
We met him in India years ago during the Maharishi days.
Back then, I was known as the fifth Beatle.
Sure you were, Apu.
It was this week back in 2014. Wow, 2014 already. When U2 announced that they were sorry for dropping an album into everybody's iTunes account for free.
Can you please never release an album on iTunes that automatically downloads to people's playlists ever again? It's really rude.
Oops. I'm sorry about that. I had this beautiful idea. Might have got carried away with ourselves. Artists are prone to that kind of thing.
This week back in 1972, Creedence Clearwater Revival called it a day following the failure of their most recent album, which was called Mardi Gras. Now, here's John Fogerty, the leader of the band, on what's important.
The most important thing in life is love, finding love. Yeah. And yeah. I found love. And I realized that that's the most valuable thing that for me, that I desire, yeah. And I dare say probably for everybody in the world. So worrying over all the things that went wrong that have something to do with, you know, material things, while yes, they are important, it's not the end of the world for me, because I have what is really important. You know, every day when I wake up, I can look at her and realize that I'm a winner.
Good advice, John Fogerty. That is good advice. In 2006, this very week, CBGB's, the legendary New York punk club, which was, I suppose, really responsible for discovering people like Patti Smith and the Ramones, Blondie, Talking Heads. Well, it closed after a final show by Patti Smith herself. But here's Clem Burke of Blondie talking about what was really great about CBGB's.
What was great about CBGB was the payphone. The great thing to do, like when we were in Europe, we would call collect. You know, we reverse charges to the payphone at CB's.
Yeah.
And of course, back in the day, okay, collect call from blah blah blah, and it would, and someone would be at the other end and pick it up and accept the charges. But because it was a payphone, no one was paying.
Don't you just love to get those little insights? In 1973, the Rolling Stones were playing in Brussels, but saxophonist Bobby Keys didn't show up for the concert, which resulted him in being banned by Mick Jagger for future tours. That ban came out of place by 1989, but in 1973, the story goes, Bobby missed the gig because he filled his hotel bathtub with Dom Perignon, drank most of it with the French lady in the bath with him. Bit of a ledge is old Bobby Keys.
He played sax for Elvis on Return to Sender.
Bobby's delivery is more guitar-like than any other horn man I know.
We had to find a rocker, you know, and he was the only one.
Moves, plays the saxophone in one giant swagger.
He has that looseness about the rock and roll. He knows how to roll.
It was this week back in 2005 when, after going up for auction on eBay by Freddie Mercury's sister, Freddie Mercury's Rolls Royce did not sell. The band and the cohorts remember him getting it, though, back in the day in the 70s.
It was a freezing cold day, and we were all there, and Freddie upstaged everybody by arriving in his brand new Roller, which we also felt he couldn't probably afford. Freddie insisted that we sign the contracts, all of us together, in the back of his Roller, because this was the first Rolls he'd ever owned.
This is weird. It was this week in 1974 when Al Green was taking a shower at home when his ex-girlfriend Mary Woodson burst in and poured boiling hot oil all over them. Then she took her own life. Wow. He suffered second-degree burns. Now, here's some good life advice from the good Reverend.
Well, I don't want to feel accomplished, like I've accomplished everything and so I don't have nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. No, you got to stay hungry all the time.
And it was this week in 1989 that during a gig in the Los Angeles Coliseum in California, while opening for the Rolling Stones, Axl Rose announced that this would be the last Guns N' Roses concert unless certain band members got their shit together. He was referring to certain people's use of heroin.
At one point, Rose slipped and fell off the stage. Then when they returned for an encore, Rose went into another tirade. Apparently very angry, he said, quote, "Unless certain people in this band start getting their act together, this is going to be the last Guns N' Roses show. I'm sick and tired of too many people in this organization dancing with Mr. Brownstone." It's a reference to a drug song on the Guns' debut album. Sources close to Guns N' Roses say the group probably will play the remaining three LA shows with the Stones, but they point out that the band's guitarist, Slash, has been playing erratically of late, and that after the Stones' date, the future of Guns N' Roses is very much up in the air.
And now, of course, they're responsible for one of the only 80s tunes to have a billion views on YouTube, Sweet Child of Mine, and the fourth most grossing tour of all time, which is the Not In This Lifetime tour, which is ongoing as we speak. So very much back together. That is a look at the week that was in music history. Thank you for checking it out. I'm Marty Miller for Radio Nova and nova.ie.